Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after the Epiphany is from Genesis chapter 45. Here we get to see this wonderful interaction between Joseph and his brothers. And we get to see the kind of love that Christ calls us to show. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine had been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing or harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you for a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry, and go up to my father, and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of the Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children, and your children's children, and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I'll provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt, and of all that you have done, all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him." This is the word of the Lord. Here we continue from the epistle reading of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "For as by a man came death, and by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, and destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Why am I in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, but my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. What do I gain if I, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us drink, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. But someone will ask, 'How are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come?' You foolish person. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For star differs from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, and what is raised is imperishable. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you'll be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you see, it will be measured back to you." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one whom takes away your goods, do not demand them back. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. These words of Jesus call us to a radical love, a love that is the polar opposite of self-serving, a love that we would not even consider of our own accord, a love that 2,000 years later, most of us still struggle to put into practice. But 2,000 years before these words were spoken by Jesus, all of them were done by Joseph. His brothers hated him, not necessarily without cause sometimes. But they didn't just curse him. They wanted him dead. And they didn't just wish him dead. They actually began plotting how they might do that. Oh, they didn't go through with it, of course, choosing to sell him as a slave and to take his cloak, you know, that beautiful cloak, douse it in blood and tell dear old dad, "Ah, Dad, your favorite son is dead." They left Joseph to the life of a slave in a foreign land for the rest of his miserable little life. And as a slave, he did work, but then became a trusted servant. But that, of course, was soon taken from him as he was thrown in prison for a crime he never committed. Back to square one. There he was forgotten by those he helped. He was forsaken by those he considered his friends. If you tallied up all of the good days and all of the bad days of Joseph's life, I'm not sure which would have been more. But I'm pretty sure that on the seesaw, the bad ones certainly seemed more frequent and more severe. But then, one day he is raised up and put in charge of all of the food in Egypt. And suddenly, those who hated him, those who cursed him, who abused him, who struck him, who stole from him, who wished him dead, who sold him, suddenly they were there before him. And not just standing before him, but there on their knees begging from him. Oh, how the tables had turned. What an opportunity at the bare minimum to at least berate them for the things they had done to him. What an opportunity to say, "Ha! I told you you would be bowing before me." What an opportunity to imprison them, to throw them into their own pit of their own making, to enslave them. What an opportunity. But instead, Joseph loved his brothers. They weren't his enemies, even though they had treated him as their enemy. He did good to those who had hated him. He blessed those who had cursed him in word and in deed. To those who had taken his cloak, he clothed them and fed them and provided for them far, far more than they had ever taken from him. And for all this, he demanded nothing. What he wished they would have done to him all those years ago, he now did to them. The mercy he wished he would have been shown is the mercy that he gave. How? How could he be so loving? Well, some might say, well, you know, time heals all wounds. Oh, yeah, but we know that's not really the case. God heals all wounds. That's probably what Joseph would say. The word of God had been with Joseph, working in Joseph all of those years. God had sustained Joseph through all of the struggles, through all the ups and downs, through the good days and through the bad days. It was God's grace that was active in Joseph's life. Could you be like Joseph? Maybe yes. Maybe no. Maybe sometimes on our good days we are. Other times on our bad days, we certainly are not, are we? Many people, maybe you, often think or say, I could never forgive that. I could never love him after what he did to me. I could never do good to her after what she did to me. The hurt's too bad. The wounds are too deep. The betrayal, just too profound. The mercy that I had wished for, I never got. How in the world could I give it? And perhaps Joseph had days like that too. So perhaps Joseph was just as surprised as his brothers when he saw them again and didn't hate them, didn't want to get revenge on them, but loved them. Where'd that come from? It came from the grace of God. And it previews things that are greater that are to come. Just as those words of radical love are true of Joseph demonstrated toward his brothers, even more so they are true of Jesus. Betrayed for literally a slave wage of freedom. His cloak was mercilessly taken from him. His name was cursed above all names. His face was struck. His head crowned with thorns. His back whipped. The nails driven. And in all of it, he spoke forgiveness for the ones who had done these very things. The burden he bore was for you and for me, in order that his forgiveness, his mercy, his love, his good could be given to you and to me, even while we were yet his enemies. So when Jesus tells us to do these things that we heard today, when he tells us to be merciful, even as your Father is merciful, it's just not just a command, do this or else. But it's also a promise. The mercy you need, you get. So that the mercy others need, they can get from you. Or maybe I should say, from God through you. After all, Jesus never tells us to do something without working in us, without first giving to us what we need. So we are the brothers. We are the ones who come to that one who is at Pharaoh's right hand? No, but to the one who is at God the Father's right hand. So we come to our brother Jesus here each week in need, knowing that we deserve nothing from him, and yet receiving from him everything we need. Here, we are washed, we are cleansed, we are blessed, we are fed. And we don't have to wonder where it all came from. We know it came from the cross, where Jesus poured out his life for our life, his blood for our righteousness, his mercy for our need. And maybe you'll be surprised, not at just the forgiveness, love, mercy, the care that you need, but also that you are now free to give. When those thoughts come, I could never forgive that. I could never love him. I could never do good to her. The hurt's too bad. The wounds are too deep. The betrayal too profound. You can. And in Christ, you are called to do so. Where does it come from? Not from you. It comes from the one who has washed you with his water. It comes from the one who has forgiven your sins, all of them, against him. It comes from the one who has had mercy on you. It comes from the one who feeds you with his own body and blood. All of those things, they're all the fruits of the cross given to you. Gifts to give you the new life that you need, that you would live in this new life. Not sinless yet, of course, but a life of repentance and a life of forgiveness and mercy. We have been united in baptism to Jesus' death and to his resurrection, and in so we have all that we need. And when we need more, he gives more, because his mercy and his love and his forgiveness, that is the good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running, overflowing into your lap, overflowing into you. but not just for your own good, not just so that you and God are good, but that you can freely, joyfully, and abundantly give it to others. And when they're amazed, when they wonder where that come from, you can tell them, I sometimes wonder the same thing. Where did that come from? You can tell them about a man named Joseph. Where'd that come from? You can tell them about a Savior named Jesus. Where'd that come from? You can tell them of His divine mercy and forgiveness to you and to them. Amen. May the peace of God established in Jesus' death and resurrection fill you with peace, with the mercy and the forgiveness of God to share with others. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.